When looking for the King of Podcasts, you're at the wrong channel.
Well, excuse me!
Looking for good ideas for life? You're far from good hands.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
If you think the listener is always right, you're far from the right place.
Out of order! Even in the future, nothing works!
Hosted by a Northeasterner by birth, but a rebel by choice.
Are you threatening me?
If you want a host that floats between love and madness,
and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Then play on and listen to Crazy Train Radio.
All right, guys, listen to this blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Warning, creators of this game do understand the subject matter may be offensive to some, but they do honor the families and people that have been affected by these real life tragedies that these individuals have caused. Want to play a game?
Oh yeah!
Lover of true crime?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we got an interesting game for you to check out.
Wow.
With the mashup of influences such as horror movies, collecting cards, and RPGs.
What?
Led to giving birth to an incredible creation of this game, Killers the Card Game.
You are all my children now.
This game is a collectible trading card game featuring some of the most infamous killers with tidbits of trivia on the back of each card to help you learn some insight to each criminal.
Who the hell are you?
Let's not forget, during the game, cops will be chasing you and these criminals.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
However, check out their website listed through all social media today, which can be found under Killers the Card Game.
Am I on the internet?
I want to play a game.
Hi everybody, my name is Mira Goto and you're listening to Crazy Train Radio.
Hey folks, it's your least favorite host in the podcast world, Croc, Jonathan Steele. And boy, do we have a good one for you today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this next guest is a California born and bred artist from the Santa Cruz Mountains. She has been immersed in country music long before moving to Nashville. Her latest EP has been eagerly awaited, and it's deeply personal. It's titled Before. So let's go ahead and welcome Miss Mira Goto. So, Miss Goto, how are you, and how are you feeling about the new EP and Before?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm feeling really good today. I'm excited to be here, and I'm really grateful that you made time for me to chat with me today. How am I feeling about this? This is, I wrote most of these songs when I was going through a difficult just chapter. Life has a lot of different seasons, right? Some of them are really, really fun and really easy, and some of them require some growth. And so I feel like this is a good sort of collection of songs that represent that growth that we get forced into sometimes going through difficult chapters. So I'm proud of it. I think it's definitely part of like the fabric of who I am as a person and as a woman. And it's like my little mirror project, my like dark corners of who I am. And so, yeah, I feel pretty good about it. It's a little bit vulnerable, but yeah.
Well, I'll say this. It's the latest EP here before has been eagerly awaited. And as you just hinted there, it's deeply personal by having five tracks really that speak to you, yeah, to your soul, dives into your experiences as an artist, but as a contemporary individual. And it was recorded in Nashville at the esteemed Prime Recording Studios with Derek Grattan. But what do you think makes it so personal with Before?
Well, some of these stories, you know, I consider myself a storyteller, and my sort of medium is music. One of these songs on here is about my son, you know, and I became a mom less than 3 years ago. I mean, unless you count the time you're pregnant, then it's less than 4 years ago. But, you know, I've become like going from not being a mom to being a mom was life-changing in a big way. And so that song, like loving something that comes out, like, I didn't know him when he was born, but like that love that I have for him is just, it's feral. And so I really wanted to write about that. And there's another song on here that's a story based off of a former relationship that I had, not the one that I'm currently in with my husband. And then there's just some other really, really personal anecdotes on here. Like, and then the old saying is, don't let the truth get in the way of a good song. So there's some sort of exaggerations of the truth and variations on that, but there's a whole lot of me in all of this and in the stories. And it's the perspective that I can bring. That's the only thing I can bring is my perspective to these stories. So I tell them the best way I know how.
Well, before we continue chatting, and I'll let you make the choice here. I know, big pressure. What track would you suggest in playing for folks right now? So they get a feel of the Before.
How about the title track? It's called Before.
All right, sounds good. So we will insert that right here, folks.
I was leaving the bar when you asked me if I could help you jump your car. I was caught off guard when you looked in my eyes, said you didn't believe in love at first sight before. Felt so right on the steps of saw you last week with some of your friends. You looked good, you looked happy, but I watched you pretend you didn't see me there in the middle of the street. Well, I guess things are different than they used to be before.
Coming out of before, and you know, it's funny, you were talking about evolving mostly in recent time because of becoming a mom. And you know, it's funny, the way you said it, it actually reminded me of a comedian telling a joke recently who became a father and now has two kids since. And I think it's a little different for a mother, where it's like you're going through the different stages and such until the baby's born, or the kids if you have multiples and such. But so you kind of, you're gearing up to be a parent.
Yeah.
Where, you know what I mean, going through that whole, the pregnancy and such. But the father, not that the fathers don't try to assist and such, but, you know, I mean, can only do so much. But he was joking about, with his first child, baby's born, you know, all good, you know, everything, mom, baby, we're good, the whole bit. And so the baby was sleeping in the little bassinet in the hospital, and his wife was taking a nap, obviously, after going through labor and all that fun stuff. So everything was, you know, it was like the quiet after the storm.
Yeah.
So he was joking about it, but he was also serious. It's like, because the nurse came in with like to fill out some paperwork about, you know, name of the child and that, that, you know, just everything you do afterwards. So he's sitting there, what's my wife's name? That it fills that out, phone number, you know, going through everything. And it says, what about the father? And he's like, why does it want my father-in-law's name? Oh, wait. Like he goes, oh, shit. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm a father. So it was that instant. At one moment, you're not a father. Then
yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, I mean, you had that split couple of seconds there.
And at that point, nobody has slept in like 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he starts to put in for his father. Wait, it's asking about me. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, all of a sudden. So, you know, you reminded me of that. And that instant, you know, you had that, oh, this is real now. You know what I mean? Like, we're responsible for this little person, every decision we make and just every. So, but with that, before we move on, when you had your son and since, because you said he's three, and what have you learned about yourself in being responsible for this human being?
I have learned that I am perfectly capable of murder. There's nothing I wouldn't do for that kid. So, yeah, that's my sort of serious but not serious answer. But, yeah, I don't know. What have I learned? That I used to waste a lot of time doing nothing. I used to think I had no time to do anything before I had him. And I don't really even know how I occupied my time before, but now I'm incredibly time efficient. I don't like to be, I don't like to have like no schedule, I guess. I really do need a schedule to keep things going. And I can get a lot done in 20 minutes versus like maybe a couple years ago, I could do the same amount of work in 3 hours because I was just a procrastinator. So, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at your background and more on the music front here, because I'm sure we could talk about kids all day long and all that fun stuff. But rumor had it, and the reason I'm reminded of it, because it's sitting on your shelf there, the violin.
Oh, yeah.
But the violin was key in your musical journey.
Yeah.
Then you ended up transitioning to the guitar during your teen years out in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California. So can you talk about that what was it about the violin and then making that transition?
Well, to be honest, I was pretty little when the violin came into my life. My parents tell me this story, but I don't really remember it. They said I went to preschool one day, someone brought their violin in for show and tell, and I came home and I would not shut up about it. And I kept asking my parents, can I get a violin? Can I get a violin? And they contacted my classmate who had the violin and was in lessons, and I got enrolled in those lessons and got a violin as well. And of course, you know, I did that for what, 10 years or so. And as a teenager, I thought that the violin was kind of lame and I wanted to play a cooler instrument. So I started sneaking my dad's guitar out of his office late at night. And he caught me with it one night and he didn't get mad. He just said, well, let's get you some lessons so you can really learn how to drive this thing. And I never looked back. And I wish I had stuck with violin and guitar, but I wanted to drop the violin, but they wouldn't let me just drop it unless I picked up something else. So that was the deal. And I wish I'd stuck with both, but I definitely am grateful for being able to pick up the instrument I love.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to go back to youngsters for a second there, because the way you said that with the, you wouldn't shut up with, about the violin and stuff. Obviously, I got my 7-year-old niece downstairs and 5-year-old nephew who'll be eating lunch. And there's certain things that kids obsess about. With your son, is there is there something that he's like, mom, this, you know, whatever that is, whether it be TV or a toy or something that might drive you bonkers?
Mommy.
No, he's got a lot of different interests. I know that sometimes kids can like be fixated on one thing, one toy, one activity, but he has like one stuffed animal that he has to sleep with every night. And so that's very important that one travels with us everywhere. And I have 3 of them because, you know, like we can't, like if we lost it, it would not be good. But no, he's a pretty good little guy. He likes a lot of different things and I can divert his attention with a new activity. But I think like physical activity is like king in this house. It's got to be on a bicycle or a scooter or running and jumping off of something or going to the playground and getting some wiggles out. So
he's all boy then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you coined your style as Diet Country. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in California and, you know, we definitely have a very healthy country scene out here, but I don't have a Southern accent. I was not raised in the South. And a lot of the stories that you hear in country music, I don't relate to because, you know, I didn't grow up on a farm or in a small town with like one stoplight. I grew up here. But country music to me, by definition, is lyrically driven songs, stories. And so I'm writing country music from my perspective, which is the only perspective that I know how to tell.
Exactly. So obviously you got your hands full on the family front, but also with the new EP. So what is next for you for the rest of 2024? Do you have stuff on the horizon or what's next?
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm learning how to produce a little bit. So I'm in school and that's really fun. And I'm looking forward to getting, you know, a deeper toolbox for sounds in the studio, because I think that's so important. You can write a great song, but then how do you put life into it to make it a record? And I'm also loving picking up the vocabulary of production so that when I do hire a producer down the line, I can communicate exactly what I want and exactly what I need to get out of it. So that's really fun. I'm doing a European release for my new record too. And so that's great, but I get these articles about my project and I'm like, is that Dutch? Is it German? How do I translate it? So I have to figure out how to say thank you in several different languages. So yeah, that's what's going on for me, is I'm just trying to expand my toolbox a little bit.
Nothing wrong with that. And you know what? I was just thinking about it because I have it in my notes here. What was it you know, several years ago, and she's only 21, folks, but there was a debut album, New Plaid Shirt, in 2013 under a different name. What was with the name change? Was that marriage or was this a stage name? What was the deal here?
I got married. My maiden name is Parfit, so my album came out as Mira Parfit. But when I got married, you know, Godo is just a short and sweet name. And I asked my in-laws, would you guys mind if I was releasing music with Godo? Like, since you're all Godos, is that going to be weird for you? If, like, I did have something that got big, like, that would, you could, it could get linked back to you. So are you comfortable with that? And they all gave me their blessing. And they are huge supporters of me. So I was lucky. I married into a great family, and they love and support me, and I got to have this short, cute little name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mira, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you and your time and what you do for independent artists like myself. So thank you.
Of course. Hey there, Friday fans. We know how much you enjoy the movies. Enjoy grabbing your Friday merchandise and interacting with the Friday family, whether it be at conventions or during our particular watch-alongs. Well, when you're looking to get yourself masks, why not check out our friends over at Camp Blood Customs out of New York State and order your specific custom mask from any of the films. All orders are made specifically. Your needs and wants are. Make sure you find Camp Blood Customs on Facebook, Instagram, and all over social media and order yours today.
Hey, you guys, this is Allie Pauline, and you are listening to Crazy Train Radio.